All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Hopefully you did the homework. Shkach Tamayish for the reminder yesterday. So hopefully... all right, so we'll say, so let's begin. So I recorded from the middle of Memtes to the Mishnah. We're going to pick up with the Mishnah today. So we'll say we're transitioning now to a discussion about bar. So achoper bar b'shus hayochid. If somebody digs a pit in the private domain, and he goes ahead and he opens up the shusar. So we'll say, so the way this works is, essentially, the cavity of the pit is in Rishus HaYochid, but the opening of the pit is in Rishus HaRabim. So in other words, the way it would work is, somebody would fall in, Chas HaShem, somebody would fall in Rishus HaRabim, but ultimately, again, the impact with the bottom of the pit would be in Rishus HaYochid. Or Rishus HaRabim, Pizchol Rishus HaYochid, or the opposite case. Person digs the cavity in Rosh Sarabim, and ultimately the opening is in Rosh Sayachid. Or, so we'll say, if you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Upischo the Rosh Sarabim, the Choshekinim Chafer Rosh Sarabim, Pischo Rosh Sarabim. So we'll say, the Rashi just points out over here, the Mishnah doesn't state the most obvious case, which is one who digs a pit in Rosh Sarabim, the cavity and the opening are both in Rosh HaSarabim. Of course, one will be chayef for that case as well. So let's just finish the Mishnah. Furthermore, again, similarly, if one digs a pit in Rosh HaSayachid, the cavity is there and the opening is there. In all of these cases, ultimately chayef. In all of these cases, chayev. Now, Rashi just points out over here. Rashi says, "Birshus hayochid upischol birshus hayochid." Afagav de'im kansar rishus harabim. Now, both say, now, that's an interesting case of bar where the cavity is in rishus hayochid, and ultimately, again, the opening is in rishus hayochid. You'll be chayev in that case as well. Rashi points out chayev. Obilvad im hifker rishuso oso shepia bor l'socha. Now, obviously, as we'll see, the only way you're chayiv for bar that you dig in Rishus HaYochid is if what? Is if you're mafgir the space. Because remember, if you dig a pit in Rishus HaYochid and you are not mafgir the space, and someone falls into that pit, what's the halacha? What's the halacha? I'm potter. Why am I potter? Why am I potter? Because the person is trespassing. I remember say, if I dig a pit in my property, and someone comes into my property, falls into my pit, and is damaged, doesn't have the right to sue me for damages. Lemaise, again, at the end of the day, what is he doing in my yard? So that's why, again, the case of where the cavity and the opening are both in Rishus HaYochid are a case ultimately where one is mafkir the space. One ultimately makes the space hefker. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Hachofer bar b'Rishus HaYochid, upis l'Rishus HaRabim. If one goes in and digs a pit in Rosh HaSayachah, the cavity is there, but the opening is in Rosh HaSarabim, Chayiv. One is Chayiv for this type of pit. V'zehu bar ha'omer b'Torah, di Rabbi Shmuel. So we'll say, Rabbi Shmuel says the paradigmatic biblical bar, biblical pit, is one where the cavity is in Rosh HaSayachah, and the opening is in the Rosh HaSarabim, and you are Chayiv for that. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Hifkir Rishuso, Hifkir Boro, Rabbi Akiva says, no, if one dug a pit in his own property, and he was mafkir the area around the pit, velo Hifkir Boro, but he does not mafkir the pit itself. Rabbi said, now you hear this case? This is a case, so remember, I dig a pit in my property, I mafkir the land around the pit, what does that allow for? What does that allow for? That allows for people, traffic, to come up to the pit, but I retain ownership over the pit itself. Rabbi Akiva says that's the biblically paradigmatic bar. So that bar ha'amar b'Torah. That is the paradigmatic example of a bar. Amar Rabba, bebar b'rishus harabim kuli amalo plegidim echayiv. So Rabbi says, everyone agrees that when you dig a bar in rishus harabim, you are going to be chayiv for that. Rabbi says, you understand, by the way, the novelty of bar b'rishus harabim is what? See, the novelty is that I am creating something that I don't own, yet I'm responsible for damages, which Rabbi says is exceptionally novel, right? Because under normal circumstances, we would assume that you'd only be chayiv for damages when you own the damaging force. Bar is unique. Even though I don't own it, I am still responsible. So everyone agrees that if you dig a bar, you're going to be chayiv. So the Gemara says, my time, well, what's the reason? Amakrav, kiyiftach v'chiyichra, because it was when it speaks about the bar, the Torah uses a double lashon. The Torah says if a person opens up a bar or if a person digs a bar, they are chayiv. Imal psicha chayiv al kriya l'kol shekin. If I'm going to be chayiv for opening a bar, then of course I should be chayiv for actually digging the bar. Ella shall iskei psicha val iskei kriya ba'olo. Rather, what the Torah is coming to teach me is that even though if I don't own the bar, but I just simply go ahead and dig it, or I just simply go ahead and uncover it, I assume liability for it. An incredible, incredible chiddush. Right? So I take, especially in the case of a covered bar, there is a bar that is covered, I uncover it, I, the uncoverer, assume full liability. I dig a bar, again, it's not my property, not my domain, it becomes mine essentially for nezik and for damage purposes. Lo nechluku, when did Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Akiva argue? Ella, top of nun, ella babar birshuso. I will say what they argue about is a bar, ultimately in the reshus of, in bar birshuso, a bar in the reshus of the digger. So what happens? Rabbi Akiva Sava, Rabbi Akiva says, bar birshuso, nami chayiv. So what Rabbi Akiva says, that if I dig a bar in my reshus, and somebody falls into that bar, then what? Then what? Then I am going to be chayiv for those damages. Now, Bosai, now you have to understand, we'll clarify it later, but I'm going to say it now, just so it's clear from the beginning. We're talking about a case over here where, remember, you're being mafgir your reshus. Because remember again, if I'm taking a pit in my property, but I'm not making my property hefker, then again, we keep coming up against the same problem, which is what? That you're, if somebody comes into my property, then they're trespassing. If you're trespassing, you trespass at your own risk. I have no liability for damages that happen to trespassers. So when Rabbi Akiva says that you're chayif for a bar, bless you, that you dig in your reshus, that's talking about a case where I dug it in my reshus, so it was mine when I dug, and then I was mafkir the reshus. That's why when I make it hefker, others have the ability to come in there, and if someone else is damaged by the bar, I am responsible for that. So Rabbi Akiva Savar, bar birshus, or nami chayiv, dechsiv, bal habar. Because the Torah, when describing the nezek of bar, refers to it as the owner of the bar. The bar, the islay bailim. We're talking about a bar that has owners. I will say, so what's a bar that has owners? This is a bar that I originally dug in my own reshus. So I have some level of ownership over that, even though I subsequently am mafgirit. So the Gemara goes weiter. So Rabbi Shmuel Savar, Bala Takola. Rabbi Shmuel says, no. The case that the Torah is talking about, ultimately, again, is talking about a bar that's dug in Rishus HaRabim. Right? And why does it call it Bala Bar? Because I am the owner. I am responsible, ultimately, for the obstacle. I become like the Bala Bar. This is the novelty of Bar. Even though, again, the Bar is not in my Rishus. Look at Rashi. Bala Takola. Or the Olam Birshus HaRabim. According to Rabbi Shmuel, the paradigmatic case where the bar is being dug in Rishus HaRabim. Aval Birshus So Afapi Shehifkir Pater Ki Depreciates Now again, let me just throw one more thing at you, and this is really fascinating. When Rabbi Akiva speaks about being mafgir your reshus, Rabbi Akiva's paradigmatic case is like this. I dig a bar in my backyard, and then what I do is, I mafgir my backyard, but I retain ownership over the bar. So the bar is still mine, the surrounding area is hefker. Because the surrounding area of is hefker, therefore what? People have reshus to enter. Therefore, if somebody enters and falls into the pit, lamaisa, I have liability for that. Rabbi Shmuel says, no. If you retain ownership over the pit, then that's called reshus yachid. That's not the case of bar. According to Rabbi Shmuel, there are two cases of bar. Either you dig a pit in reshus rabim, okay, or you dig a pit in your own reshus, but what? Your mafkir, everything. Your mafkir, your yard. Your mafkir, your bar. Now, essentially, if you do that, then your yard becomes what? Becomes Rishus HaRabim as well. So, according to Bishmal, that's the case of bar. So, says the Gemara, Elamai Zehu Bara Amr Batora. So, what does it mean when it's said before, this is the bar, this is the biblically paradigmatic bar? So, I'm sorry. Elamai Zehu Bar Ha Amr Batora to come Rabbi Akiva. Zehu bar shepasach ba kasav tchila letashlumin. So Rabbi Akiva ultimately says, this is the type of bar that ultimately, again, the Torah obligates you for payment. Look at Rashi. Umay zeh Rabbi Akiva. Bishlamu zeld Rabbi Yishmael lemi'utei Rabbi Akiva. Ela zeld Rabbi Akiva lemi'utei mai ha bar b'shutzer Rabbim nami amr tarak yidra shinan. So what's occurring to Rabbi Yishmael, we understand Rabbi Yishmael is coming. He understands that zeld bar amr tarak, that phrase is coming to exclude Rabbi Akiva's case. Because Rabbi Yishmael discusses Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Yishmael holds that if you dig a bar in your own reshus, and you're makir the land around the bar, but you retain ownership over the bar, that ultimately, again, that you are not responsible for damages that occur in that bar. So according to Rabbi Shmuel, he comes to exclude that case. According to Rabbi Akiva, what does he come to exclude? Rashi says, L'tashlumin, bar de islay bailim, ne'emar eitzal tashlumin, kidichsiv, balabar yishalim, or bar b'shutram ne'emar eitzal nizak, kidichsiv, kiyif tachish v'chi yichra, v'achikam Rabbi Akiva, amai patarta bebar b'shuso, v'alo zeh b'hara amur batara eitzal tashlumin. Rabbi Akiva will say, no, Rabbi Shmuel, you're wrong, that the Torah itself mandates payment for this type of case where a person maintains ownership over the bar and only being mafkir the surrounding land. Rav Yosef, and Rav Yosef says, Bebar b'shus ha'yachir kuli amalo pligi de mechayif. Rav Yosef and then says, both Rabbi Kiv and Rabbi Shmuel agree that if you have a bar in b'shus ha'yachir, everyone agrees that you are chayif. My time, what's the reason? Bal habar amarachmana, bebar de islay bailim. Because the Torah used lashna balabar, which tells us that even if there's a bar over which you have ownership, you are chayif for that. So ki pligi, where do they argue? Bebar b'shus harabim. The Bible says, according to Rabbi Yosef, their argument is actually regarding a bar b'shus harabim. How so? Rabbi Shmuel saver bar b'shus harabim nami chayiv dechsev ki yiftach v'chi yichra. Because Rabbi Shmuel will say like this, even if you dig a pit in b'shus harabim, you're going to be chayiv for that. Why? Because the Torah uses lashon of if somebody opens a pit or if somebody digs a pit. If you're going to be chayiv for opening the pit, does it not go without saying that you're chayiv for digging the pit as well? Rather, what the Torah is coming to teach me is what? That Rabbi said, even if I just dig the pit, and even if I just open the pit, I assume responsibility and to a certain degree ownership over that pit. Rabbi Akiva says, no, Hano mitzrach tzrichi, this phrase is necessary. Tikhasav rachmana ki yiftach. Because if the Torah would have just said, if a person opens a pit, I would have said like this, you know, if a person opens up a pit, so the maisa, again, the way to remedy that is to simply cover it. However, kira de los sagile bikisui aditoyimle. She was, I would have thought the following. Perhaps if a person opened up a pit, that's what the Torah tells me, that's what? I could free myself from future liability. How? By covering the pit. But the havamina is that I would have thought that if I dig a pit, then the halacha should be that I assume full responsibility for that pit until when? Until the point that ultimately I fully fill it in. Therefore, the Torah equates the lashonos of kisui and kriya to tell me that no, both of them can be remedied ultimately by just simply covering the pit. Vikasav rachmana kiyichra. If Torah would have just said, if a person digs a pit, have amina kriya hu debay kisui vishum da'avin maisa. I would have thought that it's only in a case where one digs a pit that he's required to cover it, because here I've done something substantive. But when one simply uncovers a pit where I really haven't done a mice, I mean, the pit was already there. I might have thought that perhaps it doesn't even require me to cover it. Kamashlam, that is not the case. So what is the meaning of the phrase? This is the bar that is stated in the Torah. This ultimately, again, is the paradigmatic bar that the Torah goes ahead and teaches us as chayv in damages. Fine. So fundamentally, we are left with a machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva holding that you are chayiv for a bar b'shus ayachid. So if I dig a bar in my reshus and I mafke the surrounding land, but I retain ownership over the bar itself, I am chayiv for that. Rabbi Yishmael saying, no, the only way you're going to be chayiv for that bar is if you're mafke not just the surrounding land, but what? But the actual bar itself. But everyone will agree that if you dig a bar in Rishus HaRabim, that you are going to be chayef for damages as a result of that bar. So Meisvei, it will say, Nun Amud Aleph 50a, third wide line. Meisvei, Achofer Bar B'Rishus HaRabim, Paslo Shus HaYochid. The Mishnah said, if somebody digs a bar in Rishus HaRabim, the cavity is in Rishus HaRabim, but the opening is in Rishus HaYochid. Potter. Ultimately, one is potter for damages. V'yafa pi she'ino rashi la'asos kein. Even though you shouldn't do this. Right, Lefisha ain osin chalal tachas or shusarabim, because Rabbi says you should never make hollowed out spaces underneath the public domain. Why not? Because again, remember, there was a fear of collapse. So never hollow out spaces underneath a public domain. But nevertheless, if you dug this kind of pit, where the cavity is in the public domain, but the opening is in the private domain, you will be putter. Now, this is contrary to the Mishnah. Furthermore, again, hachofer boros sichin umaros birshos hayachid. If one goes out and digs, remember, boros are pits, sichin maaros are ditches and water cisterns in the birshos hayachid. So if I dug the cavity in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, but the opening is in Rosh Hashanah Rabim, then Chayiv, then one is Chayiv. And if one went ahead and dug pits in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, next to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Kagon, Elu HaChofrim, Lu'ushin. But if we'll say, this is actually an interesting case. If one digs pits in Rosh Hashanah Yachid, next to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but Lu'ushin, we'll say Lu'ushin are foundations. See, here's the interesting part. Let's say a person is building a home in Rishus HaYachid, but it's bordering on Rosh Tarabim. So apparently to build a foundation, you have to dig out a little bit. So, I mean, it could be that the footprint of the house is X, right? But to dig out the foundation, at least for Talmudic building, you had to dig out wider than the actual footprint of the house. So in this case over here, again, this is interesting. So let's say somebody is digging pits, they're boros, next to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, but ultimately, again, it's not destructive boros, it's constructive boros, solution for foundations. Potter, one is potter abosai if any damages occur. Look at Rashi. Rashi says over here, solution, you sold lechomas beso apenei korochaf habayis, es Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Fine. So the Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv, ad shiyase mechitza asara. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda says no. That even if you're building, so you still have to make sure that the public is shielded from any damages, and therefore you must build a mechitza that's at least 10 tefachim high, or until you go ahead and distance yourself from pedestrian traffic, or animal traffic, at least 4 tefachim. So again, this is interesting. So the first opinion says that if you're digging foundations, apparently you could even dig into Rosh Hashanah Rabim. Second opinion says, no, you can never go ahead and dig at the expense, or build at the expense, ultimately, again, of the collective. Rather, again, there has to be at least a wall. This is just during construction. There has to be a wall of 10 tefachim, or at least a 4 tefach space between the area, ultimately, again, of where you're building and where there is pedestrian traffic. So, taima, delusion. Now, listen to this. The reason, ultimately, again, the reason why, according to the first opinion, you're permitted to dig foundations, right? You're permitted to dig right next to Rosh Hashanah Rabim, even spilling into Rosh Hashanah Rabim, is because it's for foundations. Rashi says, "V'tayma delusion, shederach la'asos, kim de'ino posheya." People have to build. So therefore, by definition, there's almost like a recognition that when someone builds, it's going to pose a certain, what's the right word? It's going to pose a certain inconvenience for those around. So the interesting part over here is that the Gemara is saying is, he's not a posheya. That person is not considered to be a poshe. He's not considered to be negligent. Now I will say, now you've still seen that the builder is obligated to minimize the inconvenience and damage upon those, but there's almost like a recognition that there's going to be some level of inconvenience during this process. So time and dilution. I'm sorry. So the second opinion will say effectively the safety cones is the mechitza. So the first opinion seems to say that no, you can dig and people are aware of it, it happens. So lemaisa, again, second opinion says, no, you have to take the active safety precautions. So the Gemara says, Halav Lushin Chayiv, Hamani, whose opinion does this reflect? Bishlam al Rabba, Reish Rabbi Shav Seif Rabbi Akiva. So also according to Rabba, this makes sense because the first part of the Braisa will be Rabbi Shmo, and the second part ultimately again will be Rabbi Akiva. Look at Rashi, Reisha Diktani Bar Birshus O Pat Rabbi Shmo. So the first part of the Braisa that said that a bar in your own Rishus is part, that's Rabbi Shmo. And the Sefer that said that your Chayiv were not foundations, that would be Rabbi Akiva. Allah, Rabbi Yosef, Bishlama, Sefer Divrei Akol. So according to Rabbi Yosef, however, the Sefer, the second part of the Braisa, can be everyone, Ra'ela Reisha money, but whose opinion is reflected in the Reisha? La Rabbi Shmo, La Rabbi Akiva, Sat Rabbi Shmo, Sat Rabbi Akiva. Amalach Rabbi Yosef would say, Kula Divrei Akol hi. Rav Yosef will say, no, no, no. The Braisa, in fact, reflects everyone's view. Vereisha shelo hifkir rishu, sovelo hifkir boro. Oh, the Reisha Rabosai is where the property owner was not mafkir his rishus, nor was he mafkir the bar. The Rabosai, if you dig a pit in your backyard, and you're not mafkir the yard, and you're not mafkir the bar, then what? Then what? Then you're putter, right? Why? Because anyone who comes on there ultimately again is trespassing, and you trespass at your own risk. So Rav Ashi says, now that you've established Rav Yosef Kitzel, the Braisa referring to everyone, so ultimately again, according to Rabbah, also don't set it up as a machlokes tanoim. Therefore, if you're going to say the Reish is Rav Yishmol, say it the same, but those Rav Yishmol, the time of the Le'ushin, and the reason ultimately why you're potter in that case where you dig the pit right next to the Rabbah is why? Because you're digging it for foundations. Halav Le'ushin, but we're not dug for foundations. Chayiv. To which the Gemara says, Kigon, the Arvach Arvuchilur Shurabim. The case, Rabbi will say, ultimately again, of the Le'ushin. Remember, the case over here is where you're digging in your Rishos. But remember, the digging extends into Rishos Harabim. So you are effectively digging a bar in Rishos Harabim. But because it's Le'ushin, because ultimately, again, it is foundations. Therefore, by definition, you will not be potter. So, excuse me, I'm sorry. You will be potter. You will not be chayiv. So, meisvei hachofer bar. I just want to be clear. The Gemara is not saying that when you're building, you could do whatever you want. That's not what the Gemara is saying over here is a recognition that where building occurs, by definition, there's almost always some kind of inconvenience to the public. So that inconvenience is recognized and even allowed for a limited amount of time. People just have to live with that for a little bit of time. Otherwise, again, building becomes impossible. But this in no way means, but remember, that inconvenience is limited to the construction process. If that building ultimately again creates ongoing, that's a separate discussion. The Gemara is just talking about over here the building of the actual foundations. So Bishlam of the Rabbah Kul Rabbi Shmoy. I'm sorry, Meisvei, Hachofer Bar Rishos Hayochid Upaskal Rishos Harabim. So we'll say, so remember, if one dug a pit in Rishos Hayochid, this time the cavity is in Rishos Hayochid, and the opening is in Rishos Harabim, Chayiv. So one is Chayiv for that. Rishos Hayochid Asmuch Rishos Harabim. If one goes, builds a pit in Rishos Hayochid, that's not the Rishos Harabim, Potter, then one is Potter. Bishmam of the Rabbah Kul Rabbi Shmoli. So we'll say, according to Rabbah, that makes sense, the whole thing is Rabbi Shmol. El Rav Yosef Bishlam Reish Rabbi Shmuel El Seifa Money, but according to Rav Yosef, you can say the first case is Rabbi Shmuel, but who does the Seifer reflect? Lo Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Akiva. It's neither Rabbi Shmuel nor Rabbi Akiva. Amalacha. What's the case? Bechofer Leushin V'Divrei Akol. Ah, Rav Yosef, the second case where you're digging in Rishos Ayachin next to Rishos Arabim and it spills over into Rishos Arabim, and the Braisa says you're Potter. What's the case, Rav Yosef? Foundations. Foundations, so everybody seems to be on the same page. It's really quite interesting that in order to build, even if you end up digging a pit in Rishos Harabim as a result of digging the foundation, that's not bar. That's not bar. And if damages occur, ultimately, again, the builder will be potter. Turn Rabban on. Chafar upasach umasal rabim. So let's listen to this case. Person dug a pit. Here, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Umasal rabim do'amar libnei iro habor zeh shechafarti tzarech lachem lishtos megishamim hamiskansim sham ve'ruoyim lishtos behemos mehen humasal." Let's listen to this. Somebody went ahead and dug a pit. I dug a pit. Now, in this case, the pit really is like a water cistern. I dug a pit and I gave it over to the public. So I did a service. I dug a water cistern. I give it over to the service to the service of the public. I give it over to the city. And what happens, we'll say, somebody falls in and gets damaged. So what's the halacha? Mm-hmm. Potter. I am potter. I, the digger, am potter. Why? Because I gave over the ownership of that water cistern, of that pit, to the city. Pasach v'lomasal rabim, but we'll say, if I go ahead and I dig a water cistern, and I tell everyone they could use it, but what? I maintain ownership over that, and then someone falls in and is injured, I am chayiv. We're going to do some beautiful Gemara now. There was a man by the name of Nechunya Chofer Boros. Right? He said, I'm sorry, I should say, V'chei min hago shel nechunya. This is what nechunya used to do. What did nechunya do? Chofer boros sichin u'moros. His name was, they used to call him, nechunya chofer boros sichin u'moros. Nechunya, the well digger. Right? Nechunya, ultimately, again, nechunya, the ditch digger. So why do they call him that? Shaya chofer uposeach u'mosel rabim. But it says an amazing thing. Nechunya used to dig water holes. He used to dig wells. Now I will say, actually, the Mishnah, we learned this in Shkalim. So actually, what Nechunya really did was, Nechunya built water stations for the Ole Bavel. When the Jews came from Bavel, ultimately, to be Ole Reb, because remember, most of the Jewish population did not return with Ezra for the second Beis HaMikdash. So Nechunya dug a whole series of wells from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, that the Ole Regel should have water. Amazing. See, he dug the wells and he gave them over to the city. So what happens? Kisha shamu chachamim bedavar amru kayim ze halacha zu. So when they heard about this, they said, oh, this one has fulfilled this halacha. And we'll say, which halacha they're referring to? The halacha that says that if you dig a pit, right, if you dig a well, and you hand it over to the rabbi, you hand it over to the city, that you are no longer responsible for what happens in that well. To which the Gemara says, halacha zu v'sulo, what, Nechunya fulfilled this halacha, no other ones, ele ima af halacha zu. Rather, the rabbi said he has even fulfilled this halacha. And I said, the Gemara is going to tell an amazing story. Ten rabbanan, maise bebito shal Nechunya chofer sichin, shenafla lebar gadol. Rabbi said, there was once a story that Nechunya, this is what they called him, Nechunya chofer sichin. Nechunya, the water hole digger, right? So there was once a story where his daughter, Nechunya's daughter, fell into a well. Now, both say, fell into a well and was in danger of drowning. Now, remember, a lot of times these wells were big and it wasn't so pasha to be able to rescue someone. So she fell into this well. Ba'u v'hodiyas Rabbi Nechunya ben Dosa. It's Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa. So they came unto Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa that Nechunya Chofer Sichin's daughter was in distress in the well. They wanted him to daven for her. So what happened? Sha'arushona, in the first hour, Amr Lahem Shalom. If Rabbi Hanina said, don't worry, she's okay. Shnia, second hour, Amr Lahem Shalom. If Rabbi Hanina said, don't worry, she's okay. Shlishis, in the third hour, Amr Lahem also. Don't worry, she's been rescued. Amru Leah, Miha Allah is supposed to listen to this Maisa. So after she was rescued, they said to her, who rescued you from the well? Amr Lahem, so she said to them, Zachar shall rechelim nizdamili, vizokin echa manhigo. As I was struggling in the well, an old man came by with a ram. With a ram. So what happens? And he rescued me. He rescued me. So we'll say, look at Rashi just a moment. This is amazing. Zachar shall rechelim, what's the ram? Elu shall Yitzchak. Elo shel Yitzchak. This was the ram of Akedas Yitzchak, who was the Zakin, Manhigo, Avram Avinu. Say, Avram Avinu rescued this girl. Now what's the pshat? So the Ben Yehoyada says that Nechunya Chofer Sichin was a Baal Chesed. His life was devoted but to Chesed. And therefore when his daughter was in distress, who came to rescue her? None other than the father of all chesed, Avram Avinu. So Avram Avinu literally rescued this girl. Pretty amazing. So they came back to Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, and they said to him, Amrulo Naviata, they said, Rabbi Hanina, you must be a prophet. You must be a prophet, right? How did you know that the girl was rescued? Amr Lahem, lo Navi Anochi, I'm not a prophet, for lo Ben Navi Anochi. It was a famous phrase. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not the son of a prophet. Elakach Amarti, but I said to myself like this, Davar Sha'osa Tzadik Mitztarbo, Hikasha Bozaro. I was like, could it be? Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa said, could it be that the very thing that Nechunya spends his life giving to others, could it be that his own children will suffer as a result of that? Meaning, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa, I'm not a Navi. I was saying, Rabbi Hanina ben Dosa obviously wasn't, meaning, he definitely has something, because he didn't just say she's going to be okay. First hour he said she's okay, second hour is okay, third hour she's up. So obviously, he saw something. The question they were asking was, how are you so confident? And what he said was, because it can't be that if a person does chesed their entire life through a particular vehicle, through a particular avenue, it can't be that that act of chesed is going to be the very undoing of that individual. Well, if the Gemara gives a very sad afterthought. Amar Rabbi Acha, Afa Pikein, Meis Bino Bitsama. But yet, Rabbi Nechunya's son died of thirst. What the circumstances are of this, I don't know. But Lamaise, his son died of thirst. So the Gemara says, Shenemar, Usavivav Nishara Ma'od. That ultimately was it. Now that pasuk, Usir Nishara Ma'od, is from Tehillim. That literally means that Usir Nishara Ma'od, his circumstances, Savivav Nishara Ma'od, are very difficult, very turbulent. Melameit Shakodish Baruch Medaktekim Savivav. It teaches us that God deals with those who are around him, the tzaddikim, afilu kichot ha'sa'ara. Even with the hair's breadth. So apparently I will say, whatever it was, it appears that the death of Nechunya's son was a result of some type of transgression. But again, even though it might have been a minor transgression, ultimately the more righteous you are, the more medaktik HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with your actions, and the higher the level of culpability. Rabbi Nechunya Amar Mihacha, Rabbi Nechunya says from here, El Na'aratz Besod Kidoshim. Literally, Kel Na'aratz, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Na'aratz means like trembles or is overwhelmed. Besod Kidoshim, in the assembly or in the secrets of the holy ones. Rabba Venora Akol Sevivav. Abba Rabbi Hanina, what does this mean? Kol Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatron. Whoever says God is a Vatron. Abba saying, if you look at Rashi, Rashi is Vatron. La'avar Akol Pisham. Whoever says God overlooks all transgressions. Whoever says God is easygoing, it's okay, he doesn't care, he doesn't pay attention. Yivachu Chayiv. Ultimately, again, should give up on his life. Shene Emar, Hatsur Tamim Paolo. God is the rock. Tamim Paolo, his actions are perfect. Ki kol derachav mishpat. All his ways are mishpat, are justice. In other words, the Ripono Shel Olam overlooks nothing. Of course, there's a midas harachmim, there's an attribute of kindness as well, an attribute of chesed, but lamaisa, the Ripono Shel Olam takes account of every single action. Arav Chanavi Temer, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Madich Siv, what does it mean when it says Erech Apayim? Below Ksiv Erech Af. So we'll say, if you notice again, the pasuk says, Erech Apayim. Now, Erech Apayim means God is slow to anger, but Apayim is plural. Why doesn't it say, Erech Af, God delays his anger? As the Gemara says, Letzadikim ul'Rishayim. It's quite amazing. So Erech Apayim means God is slow to anger, plural, both for the righteous as well as the wicked. Okay, amazing Gemara. Tana Rabbanon. Lo yisakel adam irshuzar shsarad. We'll say, a person, when clearing stones out of his own property, should not throw his stones into the public domain. So we'll say, so this seems to be a logical halacha, because at the end of the day, again, I mean, don't take your trash and throw it from your property into the street, to the public domain. There was once a man who was clearing out his stones from his domain to the public domain. Umatza chasid echad. And a chassid, a certain pious man, saw what he was doing. Amar lo, he said to the homeowner, Reka, empty one. Mipnei ma'ata v'sakel mirashus she'eno shalcha, lirashus shalcha. Why are you throwing the stones from the property that's not yours, a reference to the landowner's own property, into the property that is yours? So liglig alav. So we'll say, so the landowner said, ah, you foolish rabbi, what are you talking about? I'm doing just the opposite. I'm taking from property that is mine and throwing it into property that's not mine. There's sarabim. So what happens? L'yamim nitzrach limkor sadehu. So we'll say, so a little time later, the guy fell, the landowner fell on his luck, right? He had to sell off his property. And what happened? He was one time walking in that very Rosh Sarabim that was adjacent to his former property, the Nichshal Ba'osan Avanim. And he tripped over the very stones that he had thrown from his property into the Rosh Sarabim. Amar Yafa Amar Li Osa Chasid. Now I understand what that Chasid was saying to me. The Chassid was saying like this. Here's what's interesting. Your own property, right now it's yours. But there's a possibility that that at some time you'll have to sell it. Here's the beautiful part about Rosh Sarabim, which is what, Rabosai? Which is what? It's always yours, right? It's always yours. So the Chassid was saying, you're taking the stones from the property that's not yours. Meaning one day it may not be yours. You're throwing it to Rosh Sarabim, which always will be yours. And it's only after... It's only after this landowner had to sell off his property that he realized the wisdom ultimately, again, in the chassid's rest. So I'll say two beautiful lessons. Lesson number one is that sometimes when you receive advice from a great person, Take it to heart, even if it doesn't make sense to you. Sometimes great people have a different perspective and a different eye that allows them to see things the way they really are. We all do this. We often discount advice we receive from others because it doesn't make sense to us in the present. So be a chacham, and sometimes if you know that someone is wiser than you or has a better eye, sees things better, take it. Even if you don't act on it right in the moment, but take it to heart, because great people often know what they're talking about. That's lesson number one. Lesson number two is an incredible yisod, which is, you know, I think there's an incredible musr in this. And the musr is, you know, the things you own in life are the things you do as part of the collective. The things that you just do for yourself and by yourself, often those things are not nitzchi. Those things are not eternal. The things you do as part of your klal, the things you do as part of your people, the things you do as part of Am Yisrael, the things you do in Rosh HaSarabim, those are yours forever. The things you do for your own Rosh HaSayochid, they may or may not endure. But it's an incredible yisod. The things that really live on, the things that really make a difference, the things that have a profound impact going forward are the things we do as part of the Rosh HaSarabim, the things we do as part of Klal Yisrael. The things we do for ourselves and by ourselves, often those things do not have the same type of longevity. Says the Mishnah, Hachofer bar b'shus harabim. I will say, if somebody digs a pit in b'shus harabim, v'naf on the socho shar or chamar, and I will say, and the shar or chamar falls into it, echad hachofer bar siach u'ma'ara, charitzin ne'itzin. So we'll say, this is true. Now we're going to discuss all of these things in the Mishnah, what exactly it means. But if one goes ahead and digs, these are all different types of boros. Sicha, siach, mara, charitzin, itzin, chayiv. Imke, lam, and emabar. If that's the case, that you're chayiv for all of these different types of pits, so why does the Torah use the lashon of bar? Mabar, sheish, bokedei, lahamis, asar, tfachim. Because just like a bar has within, just like a bar in order to kill, has to have a depth of 10 tfachim. So Tzibosa, you're only chayiv if you dig an opening that has a cavity that is at least 10 tefachim deep. If it was less than 10 tefachim deep, and what happens, or a shar or chamar falls into it, umeis potter. Tzibosa, if I dig a bar that's less than 10 tefachim deep, now the Chazal are assuming that less than 10 tefachim deep does not have the ability to kill, does not have the ability to go ahead and kill something, and yet the animal dies, I'm potter. Vim huzak bo chayiv. So we'll say, for a bar that's less than 10 tefachim, if the shar falls in and dies, I am not chayiv for that. If the shar ever falls in and gets damaged, then I am chayiv for. So in other words, so for a bar, in order to kill, bar has to be 10 or more tefachim deep. In order to damage, apparently any amount has the ability to damage, I'm chayiv for damages. Amar Rav, Rav said, Bar shechayiv alav tor lahavala ovelo lahachavato. I will say that this is an interesting discussion. Rav says that the reason you are chayiv for a bar is why? Because when you dig, essentially there are certain noxious gases or odors that are underneath the ground. And when you go ahead and you dig a bar of 10 tefachim, you go ahead and you create a... the right word. We'll call it noxious airspace. Noxious airspace. And Rav actually posits that it's the noxious fumes, it's the noxious odors of the ground, of the earth, that actually go ahead and kill the person, or kill the shar. You're chayiv ultimately, again, for the heva, for the noxious fumes, but not ultimately for the impact with the ground. Because he holds, again, I will say, you know, when that shore falls into the pit and gets injured on the ground, that's not me, the balabar, who's injuring. That's the ground that's injuring. What I'm responsible for is when I dig a pit, I have released the noxious odors. Ushmul Amar Shmuel said, lahavalo, it's true, you do release the noxious odors, and therefore, again, you are chayav for that. But really what you're chayav for is what? Is that you dug a pit, and when the animal has impact with the ground of the pit, the animal suffers an injury or death. That's really what you're chayav for. But yet again, maybe you'll say that you're only chayav for impact with the bar and not for the noxious fumes. It's not true, because we will see that you're chayiv for a pit, even if the pit is filled with wool and the animal falls in and dies, the balabar is still going to be chayiv for the death of that animal. What does that show you? Because it will say, if it's filled with wool, then what? There's no real impact, but yet you're still going to be chayiv, which means that you're chayiv for the fumes as well. So I will say, so fundamental machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to what the liability for bar is. Rav will say ultimately, again, it's for the fumes that are unleashed or that are locked. Shmuel will say that yes, the fumes as well, but it's also for the impact with the ground. So the Gemara says, "My benai, what's the practical difference? Ika benai, the avad gova birshus aradim." So listen to this. What happens if instead of digging a pit downward, I create a 10 tefach mound? I create a 10 tefach mound. The animal scales the mound, goes up, falls off, and dies. What's the halacha? So the Gemara says, "L'rav agova l'mechayiv." So it's according to Rav, who says that what the essence of bar are the noxious fumes. Then what's going to be the halacha if the animal goes up on the 10 tefach mound, falls off, and dies? According to Rav, what? That's not bar. That's not bar. I'm going to be potter. With a Shmuel agova l'mechayiv. But Shmuel will say ultimately again that you are chayiv ultimately again for the elevation as well. Because remember, Shmuel says that bar is not just the din of the noxious fumes, but it's also what? A din in impact. So because of that, even if you built a 10 tefach mound and the animal scales the mound and falls off it, lemais again, you will be chayevet. So we'll say, we'll stop over here. I'm going to record Emir Tzashem to the two dots a little bit later. I'll just tell you, I just want to end off with one piece of halacha. Just to close out the previous sugya, which was the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. So the Rambam paskins, Adam hachofer bar bishus haradim. We'll say, remember again, machlokes Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Shmuel, well, which kind of bar you chayev for? So listen to this. Adam echad achofer bar birshus harabim, or achofer bar birshuso, upasach lirushus harabim, o pasach lirushus chavero, o shechafar upasach birshuso, vehifkir rushuso, below hifkir boro, hare zeh chayev in azakov. So we'll say the Raman Paskins, if you dig a bar in rushus harabim, or if you dig a bar in your rishos, the cavity is in your rishos, but the opening is in rishos harabim. Or ultimately, again, you dig a bar in your rishos, and the opening is in your friend's rishos. Or ultimately, and in all of these cases, Rav Osai, or you dug a pit in your own rishos, but you are mafkir the rishos around, but you are not necessarily mafkir the bar, you're chayiv. So we'll say, we pasken like Rama pasken is like Rabbi Akiva, that even if you dug a bar in your rishos, and you were mafkir the area surrounding the bar, but what? But you retained ownership over the bar itself, you are still chayiv for niske bar. Obviously, if you are mafkir the bar itself, then what? Then what? Then it becomes rishos harabim, and you're certainly chayiv. Avalim hifkir rishuso boro, o shefkir birosh rishuso, o shehik, o ikdisho, harei ze pater. So I'll say, ultimately, again, we will see, but if you went ahead and you were mafkir your rishos and your bar, I'm sorry, I said it wrong, but if you're mafkir rishos and your bar, according to the Rambam, you will be pater for that, Rabosai, because there is some level of liability or ownership that is responsible for the bar. So in the previous sugya, ultimately, we paskin like Rabbi Akiva. Now we're ending off over here for today with the machlokes Rav and Shmuel about what the nature of bar is. Rav says it's the noxious fumes. Shmuel says it's the impact with the ground. We saw the nafkamina of instead of digging down, you create a mound. And Emirat Hashem will continue tomorrow. So we'll say again, stay tuned for the recording. I'll record it earlier in the day today. We'll pick up Emirat Hashem at the two dots at the bottom. Shkoya. I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Right.